Welcome to The Rink, your weekly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapelake Graylian, along with Tom Luongo. This week, a few suspensions were handed out, the fans were getting unruly, and the first round is drawing to a close. Things are getting as ugly as they are exciting, and welcome to The Rink. Here at The Rink, we are suspension happy, and these days so are the NHL. Donald Brashear is suspended 6 games. The wheel of justice was spun, and supposedly Brashear got 1 game for his pregame accosting of Colton Orr, and 5 games for the hit on Blair Betts. I didn't actually see it until I saw it on YouTube. I heard a lot of it from the New York Rangers radio announcing team, who were I thought they were going to run down onto the ice and start beating people up. They were so angry. You watched it the same way I did. YouTube highlight, which you know obviously isn't the best way of watching a highlight, but still, what did you think of the hit and the suspension?
Donald Brashear got 6 games for being Donald Brashear.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the hit wasn't suspendable. It was a blatant, you know, forearm shiver to the face. But for one of the league's, you know, tough guys, Brashear plays it pretty clean for the most part. I'm not one of Brashear's biggest fans or anything, but, you know, I rarely have a real problem with Donald, with any Donald's antics on the ice. If anything, I have a problem with Donald not dancing when he should. Mm-hmm. Or with whom he decides to dance. Sometimes I'm sure Eric would give me a rash of hell for that. But at the end of the day, I think that if I have a problem with Brashear as a tough guy, it's that he picks his spots a little too much. Mm-hmm. That being said, if I compare that hit to the hit that Pronger put on Dean McCammon in the 07 finals.
Yeah.
And only got 1 game for after he'd already been suspended earlier in that same playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the NHL has a clear set of guidelines on how they handle anything.
I will say this. I think in a way that they do, but it is as biased as we all think that it is. If you suspend a player that, you know, a quote-unquote skilled player or whatnot, like Pronger, you know, and you give more to Brashear, then you're kind of following that we want to eliminate fighting, we want to eliminate this, we want to eliminate that, we want to eliminate the one-dimensional player from the game, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, that's all. That almost seems like their doctrine, that they're saying instead, no, we're not just spinning the wheel of justice, we really are suspending these guys more on purpose.
Oh yeah, I think it's either that, or the other way you can look at it is that, well, suspending Donald Brashear for 6 games is roughly equivalent in ice time to 1 game for Chris Pronger.
That's an interesting point. I never thought of that. If you're actually suspending amount of ice time, that's an interesting way of doing it.
I mean, average ice time. I think that would be almost fair. I don't think Donald gets more than maybe 6 or 7 minutes a night maximum.
Yeah.
And Pronger's going to log 26 to 27. The numbers, the math doesn't quite work out right. But you know, if it was like Andrew Peters, then it would be accurate. But it's not.
Actually, it's pretty damn close, because Pronger in those playoffs was touting about half an hour a night,
and
6 games, 5 minutes a night. That'd be
that would be about right. But still, I in no way can I figure out with any degree of logic that doesn't come down on the side of, oh, it's all just rigged, or it all has a specific agenda, as you said. There's no way that I can figure out what the hell Colin Campbell's doing.
Interesting part about that game, of course, and the incidents is that Brashear gets into it a little bit, just, you know, at center ice with Colton Orr, and then Colton Orr is a healthy scratch for the game, and Avery is back in. So the question then became, did Brashear take a few more liberties because Orr isn't out there? But mind you, I don't think Donald Brashear is afraid of Colton Orr. You know, and they're both two tough guys, but
no.
If they're going to dance,
he's not afraid of anybody.
Yeah.
maybe Georges Laroque, because everybody's afraid of Georges Laroque. But
well, those two have gone before, and I think they've each whipped each other pretty good at various times.
Has anybody ever gotten the best of Donald Beshear in the long run, in the Keynesian sense, in the long run? No. Absolutely. No. Maybe here or there. You might win a battle, but you'll never win the war.
Did you say in the Keynesian sense?
Yeah, in the fact that
this is not National Public Radio, my friend. We are not
in the long run. We're all dead. Remember Keynes. Okay.
Jesus. Anyways,
we live in interesting times, my son.
Oh man, this podcast cracks me up sometimes. Back to
I'm really Donald happy to be entertaining.
Sure. You are that entertaining.
That is the whole point, after all.
To entertain me or entertain everybody else. If I'm entertained, then at least never mind.
Then at least it gets posted.
All right, back to Donald Beshear for a moment.
Back to Donald Beshear. I mean, at the end of the, okay. So, I mean,
one of the things that came up is the whole pregame incident, which obviously is would have been the highlight had he not laid out bets. And you know what? I haven't actually confirmed yet, but I've as I was told, Betts broke his orbital bone and he is out for the rest of whatever playoffs the Rangers possibly have left. The pregame incident would have been pretty much the thing, and there's mm-hmm. there's rarely a pregame incident in NHL hockey. In rarely. The minors, in some other leagues, we've seen stuff like that, but we have seen it in the NHL.
Right.
The thing is, there are no officials out there on the ice for the pregame warm-up. And at That's this true. Point, are we at the point where we should get linesmen out there?
I certainly hope not.
Really? For the pregame warm-up? You don't think a couple of linesmen wouldn't hurt?
I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt, but, I mean, let's just hope that this if it becomes a, I don't know, let's say we see a lot more of this. If this becomes a trend, then, of course, then we'll have to look at it. But
you don't want to see a trend.
This is either an isolated incident between two teams that have really grown to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or... And it's not like Colton Orr's made any friends in this league.
No.
So, I mean, it'd be one thing if Donald Beshear was going out there trying to kneecap Chris Drury or, Marcus Naslund or somebody else. And not that they've been all that great and they haven't really, effectively been playing on one knee for most of this, for most of the series. Because if it wasn't for Henrik Lundqvist, this thing would have been over ages ago. I'm just gonna let this go. I mean, if we start seeing a whole lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. we start seeing people going all Milbury on the fans and everything else, then yeah, okay, fine.
All right. Well, if you're gonna go Milbury on the fans, I guess the next suspension would have to be John Tortorella.
it's really funny. I mean, I'm not even gonna argue the fact that Torch was or should or should not have been suspended. I guess so. I don't know.
I mean, there is.
I just find it really funny. I found the whole incident really funny. Actually, I'm like,
the incident is kind of funny. I think that in a way, I mean, when you start to take a look at it a little closer than just what happened, which of course is John Tortorella getting into it with a fan, throwing a water bottle into the crowd, not even hitting the guy that he was upset at in the first place.
That he was mad at, right?
And when you start to take a look at it a little closer, I mean. Part of it is what do we expect from the people that we put behind the bench, that are out there playing, that are getting yelled at. We always hear, you have a guy yelling from 20 rows back, who gives a damn. But right. When you have a guy, when you really get down to it, what do we expect these guys to keep their cool about all the time when they're on the ice and when they're in an emotional game and all this stuff? I'm not excusing John Tortorella at all. I think it was ridiculous, to actually throw something into the crowd is just absolutely ridiculous. But why do we keep expecting these guys to keep their cools when we antagonize them the entire game, when there's yelling, when there's, what did they expect would happen?
Yeah, I don't know. And apparently I think the beef, the bulk of the Rangers beef with Torts' suspension was that they had asked for either increased security, or at the very least have the guy removed, or some, something. I mean, you know, they asked for increased security. That the translation, they wanted that guy removed from his seat because he was being annoying and he was really being a distraction. Whether or not, you know, how that all worked out, and you know, why those demands weren't met, or why those request wasn't fulfilled, I don't know. I don't really care. And you're right. At the end of the day, they are just men. And it's not like everybody doesn't know Tortorella has a short fuse.
Right. Well, and on the other side of the coin is this is our fans who I mean, our tagline is hockey talk without the entitlement. And for some reason, the fans believe that if you spend $200 on a ticket, the calls are going to go your way. You're entitled to abuse anybody that you want. And that's not the case. The behavior of the fan is as unconscionable as anything else. I mean,
of course,
you know, it's and anybody who actually delves into the zone of the players, the people on the ice, deserves pretty much what they get. Just like that guy who went after Ty Domi,
he was ragging Ty Domi, and you know, I think he threw a cup of beer into the penalty box and was, you know, hanging over the end of the penalty box and calling Domi a bum and everything else. And Domi squirted the glass. He didn't actually hit the guy. He hit the glass. The guy fell backwards. And then and then the next time he came up over the glass, he actually fell into the penalty box with the ball. Ty Domi.
And he did what he did best. And that isn't being on TSN. That's for sure. gets what he gets. I mean, what does he expect is going to happen? You're going to antagonize Ty Domi?
How dumb are you?
Yeah. So I mean, there. But you know, that's that for some reason. And I kind of want to get into this in kind of our next topic too. But there's a certain entitlement that the fans feel when they pay that much on for a ticket. And I'm not saying, hey, NHL, lower your ticket prices or else this is going to keep happening. Okay, NHL, lower your ticket prices, please. But still, just for my, you know, so I can see a couple more games. But still, it's ridiculous that the fans feel this way when, you know, because they spend that kind of money. I'm sorry, but that's just not the case. Yeah, and when you think about it, obviously, it's, you know, it makes sense. But then, you know, you get in the emotions of the game and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, for some reason, it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the fans are going to be just as, you know, are just as into it as Tortorella is and everything else. Because, you know, the root fan comes from the root fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, everybody's emotions are riding the ragged edge. Hell, I was watching Pittsburgh and Philly, at two teams I normally despise, but this year I despise Pittsburgh just a little bit more, and was actually rooting for Philly, and I was getting upset watching Philly blow a 3-0 lead yesterday, you know, on Saturday, and I'm like, oh man, and I don't even like these teams. So
of all the times, you know, to choke,
yeah, and so here we, you know, so you got this guy in, you know, Washington who's really into his Caps, and yada yada yada, he's got front row seats right behind the Rangers bench. He's going to make the most of it.
Now, if you were in the stands and you threw something and hit somebody with it, you would be ejected, wouldn't you? From the game.
I would certainly hope so.
Man, if I were in the stands and I got hit and I were an innocent bystander and I got hit by a water bottle from the coach, I'd say, "Hey, security, eject that guy." Wouldn't happen, but right. I would be up their backsides about that.
Well, absolutely. And there's, you know, but it's just one of those. I'm going to chalk this up to this is just one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. And it happens, and it, you know, people, not that, again, you're not trying to excuse anybody, but like everything else, it happened. Right. What Tortorella's done behind the scenes to make amends for it or not or whatever, who knows?
You mean like in his press conferences?
Oh, like what he did with Larry Brooks, that was outstanding. I don't know if anybody saw the blog by Pierre LeBrun at ESPN, at the Worldwide Leader. This is just classic. So here's Brooks and Tortorella, who already don't like
each other. Yeah, you have the transcript, right?
Yeah, I have it right here in front of me. So here's Brooks. What's your response to being suspended yesterday, Tortorella? I have no response. I'm not discussing that. You're not discussing the fact that you were suspended for a playoff game? That's just what I said. I'm not discussing that. Next question. That's unbelievable, John. Unbelievable. I can just see Larry Brooks feigning massive massive indignation, right? Disbelief and everything. I was like, hey, chode. Yeah, you guys have your opinions. You write on next question. So it's like a player after a game commits a mistake. He doesn't have an obligation to talk. You think you guys are entitled to all information, Larry. I'm not giving you any information. I asked for, asking for your opinion, not information. Your opinion about being suspended in the middle of a playoff series. You have your opinion. You don't need me in the conversation, so I'm not going to answer that. You don't need mine, and I'm not going to give it to you. Next question, please. It's like...
Do you think he would have talked to anybody else other than Larry Brooks? I mean, if Larry Brooks wouldn't have been there, Larry Brooks has lost every exclusive with the Rangers.
Oh, God. I don't know, but
that
I know
was the best when he when Tortorella told him to go. I think go F himself.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that was the best. Tortorella isn't going to forget.
No, and that was the day that I became a huge fan of John Tortorella. Anybody tells Larry Brooks to go blank himself, I'm just all over it. Like, I mean, that's just like candy. I hate Larry Brooks. Oh my God, and, you know, he's the best. Is I think there was a comment at one of the guys on ESPN said Larry Brooks, you know, his our opinion of him is so low the blogosphere wouldn't even take him. I was thinking about actually posting up a comment going. Yeah, I mean, as an ex-hockey blogger, yeah, no, he's not welcome with us either.
You know, I think that I believe was the only mainstream media blog that's ever linked to me, at least any that I know of. And when he did, he called it, instead of calling it Jerseys and Hockey Love, he called it Jerseys and Hockey I Love. dude, you know, I mean, I've gotten poked fun of for the name of my blog and all before, but come on, dude, just do a little.
But I'm not grammatically incorrect.
Yeah, at least some people know how to. You know, the people who poke fun of me know how. You're actually linking to me about something that I said that you actually, you know, think is interesting, and you can't get the name right, dude.
Like, you know, I do know how to construct a sentence or phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike you. Okay, so not you, but the Larry. You, Larry Brooks.
Well, okay. He doesn't write for the Times.
This is
enough
true.
Said.
Enough said.
All right. The other bottle throwing that didn't really turn into incident was a game actually I went to the day after we recorded our previous podcast. The last time we podcasted, I had to leave because I was doing I was going to the Kalamazoo Wings game, which their goalie got a 51 save shutout. It was a heck of a game. Yeah, I'll tell you, the guy stood on his head, and it was just, you know, it was a small crowd and an exciting game. That's the best way I can put it. Hell, an ambulance drove onto the ice for the opening, for the start. An actual ambulance with its sirens going. And the mascot got out the back. It was pretty funny, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking because we had another pregame incident.
No.
Where somebody had to be carted off.
Yeah, I should have clarified a little bit before I even said anything.
No. This is great. This is good.
So but after we the day after we recorded, I actually wound up going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Final playoff game, game four against the Detroit Red Wings. It was an amazing time. It was a heck of a game. The fans were amazing. They were absolutely into it. You know, we were dissing on them last week about their playoff quote unquote knowledge, you know, and you know how video is, you can always edit it to make it look a little more, silly than it needs to, you know, there was a party outside. There was a party inside. The fans were cheering on their team the entire time, drowning out the few Red Wings fans that were there. And it was incredible. The Blue Jackets got down 3-1. They came back tied at 3-3. Got down 5-3. Tied it back up 5-5. And then, with less than 2 minutes left, the Blue Jackets took a too many men on the ice penalty.
Right.
I was on the end of the ice I was on the end of the ice away from the Blue Jackets bench, so I didn't actually see it happen. But the fans expressed their displeasure by throwing bottles on and cups onto the ice, and not in mass. I mean, there were probably, I would say, 20-25 in a building that big, you're not, you know, that's not a lot, but still, it really pissed me off. first off, if you're going to be, you know, anybody's throwing stuff onto the ice is really disrespecting the game. I didn't necessarily agree with the call because I couldn't see the call. I'm sure that many fans in the building couldn't see the call, but that's just no way to behave. You know? And the second thing is your chances are you're just going to hit another fan if you don't make it to the ice.
Right.
With your stuff. So you're ruining somebody else's experience,
and
you know.
Moreover, you're not helping your team because there's a very good chance that the referee will give the crowd an unsportsmanlike. I've seen it happen in playoff games. I don't quite remember when, but I know I've seen it in playoff games.
And the same thing happened at the end. Of course, fans were throwing stuff at the ice afterwards because the Red Wings scored with 47 seconds left.
Right.
And that pretty much sealed the deal. 6-5 was the final. I actually haven't seen it finally, but that it was a good call. Mm-hmm. I originally chalked it up to the linesman not being on board with the refs, kind of pocketing their whistles, which they sure seemed to do at times. Mm-hmm. But you know, if the call was you know, correct.
Legitimate.
Yeah, then I guess you got to do what you got to do. But you know, not a good – man, what a way to end the time there, you know?
It's a shame. And it's a tough penalty to take. And having been on the receiving end of a serious clinching power play goal that happened because of a too many men on the ice a delay of game from that. I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
The Sabres lost to Carolina in game 7.
Mm-hmm.
On an exact play with 3 minutes left, I can't remember. I think it was either Doug Janik or Rory Fitzpatrick put the puck over the glass, and Rod Brindamore scored, and that was it. That was the series.
Yeah.
And it's a tough way to go out. And
it got pretty exciting in front of me because a couple of fans got into it over one of the fans throwing.
Stuff.
And so the cops actually came down to have a little chat and break things up a little bit.
Good. But yeah, no, it's throwing stuff on the ice, not a good idea. Unless it's a hat trick. You throw your hat on the ice if a guy scores a hat trick, please, by all means. You know, if you're a Detroit fan, you can actually smuggle the octopus into the rink and get it onto the ice, please.
I want to know how these guys are getting these octopuses in.
Oh, they're paying somebody. They've got to be paying somebody to get in the door. Come on. I mean, it's just something like that's
got
to happen.
Well, somebody got one into the first game of the Blue Jackets series in Columbus, or game three of that series. So I don't know how he got it in, but if he got it in down his pants, then, you know, see a doctor.
Yuck. Yeah, really, yuck.
Yeah. If this octopus lasts longer than 4 hours, please consult your doctor right away.
Oh. Yeah, that's something you consult your urologist about.
So
moving on, and Anaheim just scored again. It's now 3-1 Anaheim over San Jose with 5:34 left in the second period, and Calgary's about to go out badly.
In about a minute.
Wow. Yep, it's about a minute left in that game. Front page of ESPN.com today. If Calgary's going to extend this series, they're going to need a big game from Kiprusoff and Iginla. Iginla, 22 minutes, -1, 2 shots on goal. Kiprusoff, 3 goals on 15 shots.
Yeah, so much for big games. Wow.
Exactly.
And you know I mentioned this to you earlier, and I was surprised that nobody had brought this up once I realized it, or at least that I've seen anywhere, that this was the rematch of the 2004 Stanley Cup Finals between these two goalies. And
that's right.
I hadn't realized it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot all about it. You're absolutely right.
And kudos to Meg, who pointed it out to me. I can't believe that I never saw it anywhere. I'm sure somebody mentioned it, but I never saw it.
And this series has not gone the same way that one went, because that one, neither of those goalies got pulled. They were both fantastic.
No.
Kiprusoff's been unbelievably ordinary, if not subpar.
And Hobby Bullen's been good. I mean, he hasn't been awful.
Well, he's been fantastic tonight because he's made 44 saves. He's made 43 saves on 44 shots. And Calgary, it's not like Calgary didn't bring a good effort, because they obviously did.
Right.
And it's not like these shots are all from the outside or anything. They're from all over the place.
Well, obviously they're playing for very, different teams. But at the same time, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting to chalk this one up to a era, pre-lockout, post-lockout.
Yeah. Yeah. You could look at it that way.
Yeah.
I guess you maybe could.
And take a look at that. They score again. The Blackhawks, 4-1.
And finally, Dustin Byfuglien. Byfuglien got one. And that's his first goal of the series. And he's won. He's got 1 and 2 tonight. He's been all over the ice like a madman. And he's been Pierre McGuire was just, you know, he was just
up his backside.
Oh my God. I was trying to come up with a euphemism for, you know, no, but yeah, he's been gushing over Byfuglien all night long. And the guy's been good. There's no doubt about that. So, But -2, 24 minutes on the ice, 2 shots on goal.
Jeez. Well, that's it for the Flames Blackhawks. So that series ended the way that I wanted it to. The Blue Jackets one obviously did not in the way that I wanted it to.
And no way was it going to. I mean, I would have been happy if they had won a game. It would have been good for that organization, that franchise.
Well, they finally scored a few. You know, I mean, they finally got – Rick Nash finally scored. You know, it was nice to see people other than R.J. Umberger, who I said at the beginning of the year was their best pickup, and I keep reminding you of that. But then you reminded me of you said I said something about Kiprusoff.
Yeah, you said I think we were talking to Eric a couple weeks ago about the handicap in the playoffs, and you said, you know, I'd like to see Chicago win this, but I'm not going to bet against Mike Kiprusoff on, you know, under any circumstances. Well, I should have taken that bet.
I think I was under the influence of something.
I certainly hope it wasn't when you were in your recording in your car.
No. Maybe it was a caffeine high. I don't know what it was, but there is no way that I am admitting to that, my friend. No, it didn't happen.
Are you certainly sure it wasn't Eric? Any Detroit's finest are listening to this podcast.
Are you sure it wasn't Eric? We sound so much alike.
Oh, no. No, I'm certain it was you. I have a near photographic memory, and I can almost swear that you said that.
Yeah, I probably did, but you know, it's still I wouldn't have bet. You know, I wouldn't bet against him that often. He's a damn good goalie, and you know, the problem with the Flames is that they keep. It seems like it's the same team over and over. Even though it's not, you get that exact same core over and over and over, and we don't, you know, that core just isn't seeming to be good enough. And what are you stacking around it? Todd Bertuzzi?
I don't know. What I can tell you is that this is now two teams that Daryl Sutter has built and can't get past the second round.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, Dion Phaneuf was not in the game tonight. So
yeah, I'm sure that broke your heart.
Yeah, not really exactly a difference maker either way. So, I mean, I don't think he would have been a difference maker in this. This is, you know, look at the shots. I mean, Hobby Bullen was just playing lights out hockey.
Yeah, no, him and Robert here both, but they did give up 2 on the power play tonight, and that's part of how Chicago built their lead. And without Regier and without Phaneuf, you could argue that their two best penalty killers were, you know, other than Kiprusoff, were out of the lineup. Though, you know, what little I did see at the series live, I can tell you that, you know, Corey Sarich, there's a guy with a cup ring. That guy played lights out. Mm-hmm. That guy was fantastic. Probably the best defenseman that Calgary had in the games that I watched. He was fantastic. And I haven't seen him play that well since, you know, they won the cup in 2004.
Only series that we have left, which might finish up tonight, is Ducks Sharks. And if the Sharks win, the Sharks play the Blackhawks. And
no, this is only Game 6.
Yes, but
Sharks.
If the Sharks win the series, it's Sharks versus Blackhawks and Red Wings versus Canucks.
Right.
And if the Ducks win tonight, it's Red Wings, Ducks, and Canucks and Blackhawks.
Yep.
And when I look at it that way, I'm really not certain which way I want to see it go. You know?
Yeah, me. Well, I can tell you that I'm going to have a hard time. Yeah, Detroit, Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good series.
Yeah,
I'm still praying for 7 games and injuries. Because you know what else? Someone's got to win.
Yeah,
damn it. You know, and then Chicago, Vancouver. I kind of got a soft spot for both teams at this point. I'm going to root for the Canucks, but because I love Luongo, and I should. We're probably distantly related, and 74 generations removed or something.
That's it, and that makes you a winner, man.
Hey, I'm just not betting against the best goaltender in the league. I'm sorry, I'm just not doing it.
No, I don't blame you, but it goaltending in somebody mentioned the other day. I can't remember who it was that the last three Stanley Cup winners have all changed goalies and gone with their backup and won the cup. Hmm. Backup Jaguar, Brizgalov.
Right.
Brizgalov started and Jaguar came in after, but right. It's really hard with those two to really say that anybody lost a starting job,
Right.
They've won with backup goalies basically. Or swapped goalies and gone the distance with a different goalie than that they started.
Than what they started with.
Yeah.
But speaking of incredible goaltenders, last week's game between New Jersey and Carolina deserves special mention. I watched most of that game. Mm. Brodeur and Cam Ward put on a clinic. It was insane. And Brodeur played probably the best game I've seen him play in years. He was fantastic. It was unfair. because both teams went at each other like cats and dogs, and someone deserved to score more than one goal for the clinic they put on it offensively. And then the goaltenders were as good as they were. It was insane. Wow. That series has been as good as any series I've watched.
And it's going to game seven.
And it's going to game seven tomorrow night. And wow, how do you bet against Marty Brodeur in a game seven at home?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I don't want to see him win. I just don't like New Jersey. I don't know. And then speaking of New Jersey, there's a rumor on Puck Daddy, or they report on Puck Daddy, that Evil Lou will finally no longer be in charge of the business side of the Devils.
Yeah.
That might actually be a good thing, especially if he's in charge of their marketing.
How can you not, in a way, take him out? You have a brand new building, and you aren't getting the fans, and something's got to give.
I don't understand how a man can have that many responsibilities and do them all that well. I mean, there is such a thing in this life called the division of labor.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou is a hell of a hockey guy, and I just can't believe that he's like a marketing genius as well. I just can't believe there's like three of them running around. It's like Evil Lou and his two clones doing all this work, because it's more work than possibly get done in a 24-hour period, 7 days. I just don't see it. But maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. Even if you just take off the workload, I mean, I'm sure he's got assistants running around like you wouldn't believe.
Sure,
but yeah, even after the workload, just what's the performance of the team been in the marketing side of things?
Right.
Since they moved out of was it East Rutherford? It hasn't been good, and it's been one of the sore spots in the league that you have the brand new building, you make the move, out of the Continental, and look what happens. Nothing good.
And worse than that, you have one of the perennially excellent franchises not mm-hmm. able to market itself to its fan base.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Well,
I mean, it's one thing if it's a town like Chicago, where they haven't been good for 15 years.
Right.
And naturally you're going to have attrition in the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But New Jersey, they've been excellent for the last 15 years.
Right.
And they can't even have a cup parade worth. They have to, they tore the parking lot in a Ford pickup or something.
Well, what is the, man, that's awful. What is the marketing?
Mostly true.
Yeah. What has the marketing slogan basically been? I mean, it's been In Lieu We Trust. And In Lieu We Trust is just not
– must not be getting it done.
No. Mind you, it's better than Carry the Flag and March On for the Columbus Blue Jackets, but still.
But at least so far, on the ice, it's In Marty We Trust. And yeah.
That's true. For the Columbus Blue Jackets, I would like to suggest We Have a Cannon. That, I think, would get it done. Get more fans in there because We Have a Cannon. And it went off a lot.
Nice.
Finally. Montreal did exactly what everybody thought they were going to do. They got swept. It's done for them.
Who could?
100 years of glory.
100 years and finally the the modern era Bruins exercise some demons and, you know, take care of Montreal and stop playing the sweaters and start playing the guys. And at the end of the day, the guys weren't very good.
Yeah,
it wasn't a very good team. And, you know, you got a couple of key injuries, Robert Lang and Andrei Markov. But still, at the end of the day, that series wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Montreal could skate with Boston for maybe half a game, and then the Bruins just wear them out.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So much for that. I don't mind one bit.
Me either.
We have two more game sevens. And basically at the same time. So pick which one you want to watch.
Oh,
get
yeah,
a friend
really.
To record the other. That's
true. That's right. New Jersey and Carolina and Washington and the Rangers. Now that Rangers Washington series is just nasty.
Oh god, but, yeah, it's been great. And this is, you know, who would have thought? I mean, we said don't count out the Capitals. Don't count out the Capitals. And sure enough, they're just steamrolling.
Yeah, well, you know, here's hoping that they continue to do so.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
And Varlamov,
great story.
I've been told that's how you pronounce it, Varlamov, which okay. Somebody took Don Cherry to task for not being able to pronounce his name. Hey, he couldn't, you know, Don Cherry didn't care enough to pronounce the owner of the Washington Capitals' last name enough to actually find out how to pronounce it.
Don Cherry doesn't care enough to do 5 minutes worth of prep before the show, which we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it sometimes.
No, he doesn't do 5 minutes worth of prep. If he can't, like, you know, sit down with a you know, a phonetics chart of some of these guys' names, come on, Don. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're playing to the beer and pretzels portion of the Canadian electorate, but at the end of the day, come on, dude. You know, show a little respect for that whom you're talking about.
Yeah. All right, Caps, Rangers, and Carolina, New Jersey. Which one? I'm guessing you're watching Carolina, New Jersey.
Mm. I don't know. I'm seriously interested in watching the Rangers get ousted.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. I'll probably flip back and forth.
Yeah,
that's what I do. I'll flip back and forth like a, you know, like a chicken at a tennis tournament or something. Every three minutes, must watch. You know, I'll do one of those things. Can't tear my eyes away. No. Gotta know. You know, I'll be one of those things.
Your ADD will be well fed.
It's like hardwired into my spine. I can, like,
puck
turn
drops
off
in 2 minutes. Turn, run
2 minutes. Oh no, it's a two minute TV timeout. Oh, I got 2 minutes to go check out this game. Come back, ding, and they're like the commercial is always just fading right out and, you know, coming right back. I get scout teams 2 minutes at a time. At least that's what I used to do.
Last thing on my list, three people make it who basically I don't think any of them have before nominated for the Vezina was Tim Thomas. I don't think he's been nominated.
No,
has he? No. Steve Mason, obviously not, because he is a rookie. And oh, the third one escapes me. Oh no, so awful.
Nicholas Backstrom.
Thank you, Nicholas Backstrom, who obviously hasn't been. I don't think Backstrom's got a hope in hell myself, but
I'm really honestly surprised Luongo had his ups and downs during the regular season, and Berdour was out, and, you know, but it's interesting.
Well, and Luongo was out injured for a while too.
So. Yeah. At the end, it's not like any of these guys aren't worthy of the honor given the seasons they had. But at the end of the day, you know, Wyshynski did make the salient point that all three of these guys play behind very tight defensive systems. They play for defensive minded coaches, Jacques mm-hmm. Lemaire, Ken Hitchcock, and Claude Julien.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't get any tighter to the vest than those three guys.
I think Claude Julien has, you know, he probably takes the reins off the most out of the three.
Well, he's got the bigger
guns up front. Also.
He's got the roster to do it with, and, you know, it's the same thing when Hitchcock had that Star Stanley Cup team. You know, he let them skate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they, you know, bear hugged their way to a Stanley Cup, those guys still were allowed to skate. They just needed to skate backwards, and they just needed to back check as hard as they forechecked. So, mm-hmm. No, I it's just. There is a bit of that to it. And when you look at other goaltenders who whose teams hang them out to dry a little bit and play a higher tempo forecheck, that, you know, not all save percentages, not all goals against averages are created equal. Is really the argument that G-Dub was making, and it's a valid one. It really is.
Well, I'm going to make my argument for Tim Thomas. He checked Jason Blake.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think the whole Billy Smith angle to or Ron Hextall angle to Tim Thomas is what's got the fans behind him. I mean, how could you not?
No, dude, you got checked by a goalie.
Yeah,
that's going to be
got checked by a goalie.
Yeah, exactly. That's going on Jason Blake's gravestone when he's somebody's going to spray paint it on his gravestone. Dude, you got checked by a goalie.
But, you know, even that couldn't save Marty Turco's season, you know.
Yeah, and it's not like it wasn't Ron Hextall going after Chris Chelios either. It was an actual hockey play. He just launched out with the blocker and forward, and dude, you got checked by a goalie. Good for you. You're done.
And you just whack him in the nuts with your stick. You got checked by a goalie.
Yeah, exactly. That's Tim Thomas's trophy. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him take it on a hunting trip.
I think I watched it. Was it him who ran interference on a forecheck during his playoff series? I think he did. I think he actually ran interference
around the back of the net, or
no, right in front of the net. Somebody was cutting across to try and. Oh yeah, no, it was during a scrum. He actually got himself out in a scrum during the Montreal. I think it was game 3 or game 4. There was a scrum, and somebody was coming in to go after. I don't know. Pick one, Bergeron or Lucic or whoever, and somebody, you know, one of the Canadians was coming at either double team or start, and then Thomas checked him to the end, you know, stuck his big butt out there and pushed him off to the side and let the lioness like kind of pass him off to the linesman. It was kind of cool.
Do not mess with Tim Thomas.
No, not right now.
Yeah,
he's in the zone right now. He really is.
He's nuttier than a payday bar. Do not mess with that man.
Paydays are good. It's a good candy bar.
Well, Tom, that's everything on my agenda. You good?
Yeah.
Excellent. We will talk to you next week.
Excellent. See you then.
That does it for episode number 31 of The Rink. You can find my blog, of course, at jerseysandhockeylove.com, and you can find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can comment on anything that you hear, or find out about subscribing in iTunes, check out our Twitter feed, whatever you like. You can email The Rink at rink@rinkpodcast.com, and you can call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.